The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit. Track budgets and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
I didn't realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a backseat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills, so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
This podcast contains explicit content and is not suitable for all ages. Listener discretion is advised.
Welcome back to Always the Last to Know. I'm Ash.
I'm Katie.
It's an early Sunday morning recording session, and I just clapped so loud that we almost laughed.
Oh my God, I forgot about Dan.
I know. I was like, ooh, I hope I didn't wake him up. It was a really loud clap.
Oh, goodness. We are recording this early. So yes. Nothing has changed from like the last update on our lives that we gave you.
Nothing. Well, one thing. I fell in love with Hozier.
Oh, yeah. That is a monumental thing. It's...
Like I said in the text to you, it's not just that he's an attractive man. It's the vibe. It's the voice. It's the hair. It's the lyrics. It's everything.
Absolutely. I can't remember. I think I sent you a post a while back because I just assumed that you were as in love with him already as I was.
I mean, it makes sense based upon the kind of music it is.
It makes perfect sense.
I'm sad it took me this long.
No, it's so exciting that you're experiencing it. Like the beginning is the best. Like finding a new artist who has like an amazing catalog is such an yes. It's so great. It's so great. Never regret finding an artist no matter how long it takes. Shit, what was I saying?
Oh, you sent me a post
a while ago, and it was talking about how Hozier is Persephone, just like in human form. And I was like, yeah, absolutely. And then I sent it to you, and I think you responded, but not in like the conversation that I was like expecting. And I think now I'll re-find that and send it to you, and we'll have a, it'll be much different.
I was going to say, there's no way I'm finding it since Barry. Deep in our conversations.
No, and we can like totally edit this part out because I'm trying to be a little bit more natural, but
yeah
I was listening to the Cleopatra episode, and I feel like I'm a little hesitant when I'm like when I'm on mic. I'm a little more like than I want to be. So I'm trying to mellow out and be a little bit more of a real human being.
I am real. I compute.
Yeah, I am not artificial intelligence. Listen to our simulation episode. Anyway.
Oh, did you watch that simulation thing that I sent you with Neil deGrasse Tyson?
Yes.
Did you stick with it until the very end?
I don't think so, because that's right when you woke up and started texting me about Hozier. And that was more important.
I'm like, rewatch it.
Okay. I can do that.
Also, I texted you about Hozier. I don't know what time that was, but it was an ungodly
2 in
hour.
The morning.
Yeah.
I checked. And that's why I like replied to it and I was like, what brought this on?
This can 2 I just
proclamation.
Wait. I feel like this is our this is a fun Sunday morning vibe. This is like we just woke up and we're having our little morning chat with my coffee.
I've been awake since 5, but yeah, keep going.
I just want to read to you what I said when you asked me what brought this on. Because I was like, I have to give full context here or else it's just not going to make sense. I said, ugh, I was like super moody last night, but like a I want to be in the dark and rainy Pacific Northwest kind of moody. I couldn't get Twilight to play on Plex. And when I say Twilight, I really mean I couldn't get New Moon to play because I wanted to watch the next one. Which has Rosalind on the soundtrack from Bon Iver, which is moody song that I love. Okay, anyway, I couldn't get Twilight to play on Plex, so I started scrolling through moody Pacific Northwest reels, and I was saving the songs that people would use, and one of them was Would That I, which...
Such a good fucking song. Such a good fucking song.
But there's
Wasteland
also...
Baby is so good.
There's also something about the name of that song that I really enjoy. I don't know. I saw it before I heard it. I heard the little clip, but then I saw what the name was before I heard the entire song. And I was like, oh, there's something about that that I really like.
I feel like the titles of his songs are very thought-provoking like that.
What else did I say? Once I heard the whole song, I was enamored. I fell asleep with it on repeat.
Yeah, understandably.
And like, to be honest, you're the only person that I know of who listens to him.
He is so slept on. It's out of control. It's out of control.
He's amazing. And now I understand why you guys went all the way to Boston to see him.
Oh, yeah. I mean, to be fair, there aren't a lot of big artists that come to Portland, Maine. There's not like a place for them really to play. So when someone huge comes like that, it's usually a trek to Boston, but like abso-fucking-lutely. I was ready to go to both nights. I'm like, I'm here. I'll just follow you on tour. Because I wanted to go the first night and I didn't get tickets and I cried. Aww. And then he added a second night and Mike got tickets and yes. I cried again. And then cried 5 more times at his show. Whatever the Hozier version of like a full Swiftie is.
Yeah. It's kind of like that.
That's me. Yeah.
Her new albums have... bit of a similar vibe, like Evermore and stuff like that.
Yeah, they do. They definitely do.
The lyricism between the two of those people. Wow.
I would love to see them write a song together.
Oh my god. Because she's already done something with Bon Iver.
Yeah, it would make sense that they work together. Oh my god. Actually.
Okay. Back to
so
our...
before this turns into a Taylor Swift episode, because it could. So just a heads up, y'all, this is the beginning of what is going to be kind of the rest of the year a little bit. We are beginning a huge, absolutely deep fucking dive into the Kennedy family, what happened to all of them, and JFK, which is by far my most popular TikTok series, hands down.
Yes.
I owned JFK Talk. For like a good 7 months.
Yeah.
I would say.
Before we do start, I just want to let everyone know, like, we are recording this early today. We are going to be recording the rest of the year's stuff early. So if there's anything that we talk about and you're like, that was 3 weeks ago, we're like,
oh, yeah.
We're like, yeah, because we're recording this early. So we want a little bit, not a break for you guys from hearing episodes, but a little bit of a break for us on recording throughout the holidays, and it'll give us time to prep more social media and Patreon content.
Yeah, and I do plan on getting a little bit of a jump start on my notes and some stuff like that, so that hopefully, God forbid, there's a time next year where something happens and we don't have time to record, that we have like some backlogged episodes.
That would be great.
The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, And before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place, so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month, so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit. Track budgets and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
So we didn't just pick JFK because of my TikTok series or because I could truly talk about him for 10 hours. We picked specifically this time because in about a month from today, November 13th, they are allegedly supposed to start releasing the remaining CIA classified documents on JFK.
Oh, shit.
They were supposed to release them in Trump's final year, but that didn't happen. And literally their reasoning was COVID. And everyone was like, that's bullshit. That doesn't make any sense. But buildings had to be closed down. It takes a lot of time to read through these and figure out what needs to be redacted and what doesn't, people's names and addresses and shit. So it took a while for them to finish redacting them. So allegedly, we're supposed to be getting the rest of them in a month. And we thought it would be nice if everyone had a deep dive into JFK and what we have now before those come out.
Yeah.
So this week, we're going to be focusing on the early years of the Kennedy family and what people refer to as the Kennedy curse. Personally, I think the Kennedy curse is just Joseph P. Kennedy, the father of the Kennedy family. But some people think that it's like a mystical curse. I just think he fucked them all. So we'll get into it. Joseph Patrick Kennedy was the first of three surviving children born to Patrick Joseph Kennedy.
Why do people do that?
Why? Yeah, it's very weird when people do their names like that. So his parents, PJ Kennedy and Mary Augusta Hickey, his birthday was September 1888, which is so long ago. Talking about the 1800s, it's fucking nuts. So at the age of 13, his father enrolled little Joey K in the predominantly Protestant Boston Latin School. This was it. Are you muted? I can't hear you.
You can't hear me?
Okay, now I can hear you.
I was just silent laughing.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Just, I was laughing at the fact that you called him little Joey K.
Oh, yeah. These notes are very much so written like I'm gossiping about my friends, because that's, I have the most disgusting parasocial relationship with like the early Kennedy family. It's such a problem. This school was a drastic change from the parish-based Catholic schools that he had attended his entire life before that.
Oh.
While it was technically a public school, the school itself was the top choice for the sons of Boston's elite. So the classmates opened up societal doors for little Joey Kennedy. See, I told you. Doors that, as the son of a ward boss and business owner, would have never been opened otherwise.
Mm.
Kennedy was popular among his peers and elected as the colonel to the school's cadet regiment and class president his senior year. I don't know what the colonel does. I don't care enough to look it up. His love of competition continued as he plays baseball, basketball, and managed the football team. Not good enough for football. He had a very well-rounded education. And it was that education that won him entrance to Harvard University, despite what many sources called his rather unimpressive grades.
Oh. Damn.
So Joseph started Harvard in the fall of 1908, making him the class of 12, but like 1912. Kennedy was an Irish Catholic, and the gross classist stigma of his father's job and his upbringing followed him to Harvard. As a result,
of course,
because this was like peak fuck Irish times.
Yeah.
As a result, he would experience both subtle and obvious painful exclusions from the elite social circles that he desperately wanted to be a part of.
Well, fuck those people.
Absolutely fuck those people. And it's ironic because JFK goes on to represent like the wealthy Ivy League elite that Richard Nixon always fell outside of.
Oh, how the turntables.
Right? Yeah. So later he becomes the snobby elite. A lot of people point to this stigma that he dealt with as the source for his drive, saying things like, there's nothing like the I'll show you motivation. After graduation, he became a state banker whose training would come in handy when in 1914, he rescued the Columbia Trust Company Bank, where his dad was a board member.
Oh.
So Lil Joey helped out PJ, which is really sweet of him.
Lil Joey.
Helping his daddy. At 25, Joseph Kennedy became the youngest, or one of the youngest, bank presidents in the country.
Ooh.
And he became president of the Columbia Trust Bank that he just helped save.
Good for you, boo-boo.
With this... good for you, Joe. With this new bank listen, presidency...
Sunday morning, I'm on a different level.
I feel it. Joseph Kennedy was finally recognized as an eligible suitor for Rose Elizabeth Fitzgerald, the woman that sources say he had been secretly courting for the last 7 years.
Damn, that's a long time to court someone.
Well, they were probably just like, they were probably secretly dating.
You know what's so funny? I say that, that's a long time to court someone, but Dan proposed to me on our 7 year anniversary.
Yeah, and that's really what they mean when they say courting, because so despite the disapproval of her father, John F. Fitzgerald, who was the mayor of Boston.
So many Johns and Joes. And
yeah, I know. Well, this is where we get John's name.
Okay, JFK. Cool.
Yeah, it's confusing, though, and it gets even more confusing because all of these people have fucking nicknames.
Yeah, it's like, why do they do that, though? Because now I don't know who the fuck we're talking about sometimes.
That's fair. If you're ever confused, just ask, because it does get... There's a lot of white boy names.
I'll be like, which generation?
Yeah.
A lot of white boy names.
It's 1914 when he rescues the bank and become a board member. Now he's an eligible bachelor for this girl he's been courting, dating. October 7th, 1914, that year, they say their vows and get married.
Oh,
so like they've been dating secretly, basically. And now he's like, I am rich and a banker and your dad will let me marry you. In the next summer, 1915, they gave birth to their first child, Joseph Patrick Kennedy Jr. She's a Leo, in case you were curious. Their second son, John Fitzgerald Kennedy, JFK, was born at the family home on May 29th, 1917. A Gemini. Mm. Over time, the family grew to include seven more children.
I'm sorry, what date?
May 29th.
Oh, okay.
Were you questioning if he was a Gemini? Because I looked it up.
No, for some reason, my brain heard like nine, and I was like, wait, did she just say the same date as Dan's birthday? Because he's a Gemini.
Oh, no, Gigi would have mentioned that.
Oh, Gigi would have been obsessed by that fact.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you would have for sure.
I would have known.
Yeah. Over time, the family grew to include seven more children: Rosemary, born in 1918, Virgo; Kathleen, Eunice, Patricia, Robert, Jean, and Edward, aka Ted.
Ooh.
So
Ted,
Teddy Kennedy. So Robert, famously Bobby, everyone knows Bobby. Kathleen, everyone called her Kit.
Kit,
yes. Okay. And there's just a lot of fucking nicknames. Everyone refers to JFK as Jack.
Okay.
So they call him Jack and John interchangeably.
Oh.
Which, okay. Yeah, which gets really confusing. So now we have Joe Sr., Joe Jr., John / Jack, Robert / Bobby, Kathleen / Kit, Edward / Ted. It's all over the place. It's all over.
How do you get Ted from Edward?
That's a great question.
It's a fantastic question.
Also, I said Kit Kick.
Oh, Kick? Kick
for Kathleen, because she was like so wild.
Oh, got ya. Yes. Okay. Oh my God.
So now everyone in the Kennedy family whose name is Kathleen gets called Kick.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, it's like there's so many nicknames.
Can we give new people different nicknames? Thanks.
Please. Can we just use new names? God damn it. So February 20th of 1920, JFK, who often is called Jack by his family, became sick with scarlet fever.
Wow. I've had that.
Yeah. Same.
It fucks you up.
Oh, yeah. It really fucks your body up. So this was the same night that Rose went into labor with Kathleen.
That's crazy. Nah. So, that stress, take me out.
Dude, and...
take me out.
He... okay, you know what? It's in my notes. We'll get to it. So this would be the first of many life-threatening occasions that would hit JFK in his short lifetime. In fact, Kennedy was administered his last rites from a priest on four separate occasions, not even including his 1963 assassination.
What?
Yeah, dude, he's a sickly fucking dude. He actually fell ill the same day his mom started labor for his sister Kathleen, who would go on to be known as Kick because of how wild of a kid she was. Wow, dude, I'm just jumping ahead of my notes and not even realizing it. After the help of some family members, cough, 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 probably the mayor of Boston, Rose's dad, JFK was admitted into the Boston City Hospital. Kennedy spent 6 weeks receiving treatment and recovering there, followed by another 6 weeks in isolation, recovering at a hotel in Poland Spring, Maine.
In Poland Spring, Maine?
It was just like
with all that fresh water?
I totally, beautiful area. Like, if you're going to recover, that's absolutely where you want to go. The birth of Rose Marie, aka Rosemary, in September of 1918 happened during a pandemic, which meant that doctors' attention was elsewhere. According to James Patterson's book, The House of Kennedy, quote, Rose goes into labor at home as planned, but Dr. Good is detained. All physicians have been pressed into service to treat the sick and dying. Rose was willing to wait, but the baby was not. She's already in the birth canal. Patterson continues. The nurse orders Rose to squeeze her legs tightly together to delay the birth, and incredibly, goes so far as to push the baby's partially exposed head back into the birth canal
for two
excruciating hours, depriving the baby's fragile systems of oxygen.
Bro, this could have killed both of them.
Yeah. When the doctor finally arrives, he delivers the baby girl and pronounces her healthy. As she began to grow, and Rosemary fails to reach developmental milestones as a toddler. All of this is happening while Joseph Kennedy is also amassing a huge fortune that, like, we cannot even begin to comprehend. The Sinisterhood podcast, one of their hosts said he was Zuckerberg rich, like, in the 30s.
Oh my God.
And I don't mean like he had the equivalent of 30s money that Zuckerberg had. I mean, he had like the money that Zuckerberg had in the 30s. Like, we should be saying people are Kennedy rich.
That is so crazy.
It is insane. So NPS.gov says, quote, Joe returned to finance after the war, and in 1926, he crafted a deal to purchase a production studio in the still new movie industry. With his business, Kenny relocated the family to Brookline, to New York. Over the next few years, a series of mergers, acquisitions, and independent productions made Kennedy and his investors very, very wealthy. He also does some really fucking sketchy shit on the stock market that we'll get into. Living in this light of wealth and stature, many sources say that Rosemary's parents were embarrassed by her delays. Quote,
whose fault is that?
Rosemary. Well, this is also the era of like twilight births.
What does that mean?
Like when they put them under anesthesia, like they would give you like laughing gas, like they'd put you under and you'd wake up and they'd hand you a baby.
Oh.
So like, it's not like she really could do anything about it.
Yeah.
It's the nurse. It's really the nurse who fucked up.
Oh my God.
Quote, Rosemary lacks the coordination her two older brothers readily displayed as toddlers, struggling with tasks as basic as walking or holding objects, Patterson writes. Quote,
Joe desperately consults doctors and psychologists for a, quote, cure, but medicine has yet to make sufficient pharmacological or therapeutic advancements. Obsessed with the family's image, Joe and Rose try to hide Rosemary's condition. It's complicated because there were a lot of sources that talked about, like, how hard they tried to, like, find cures for her and, like, all of these things that they did for her. But as I continue to read these details and, like, what ends up happening, I don't buy that.
Yeah.
At all.
They're like, let's just hide our,
yeah,
our different child away.
Rosemary's nephew, Tim Shriver, wrote in a 2014 book, they tried to hide Rosemary's condition from their friends and even from Rosemary herself. There would have been people who might have whispered about, quote, bad blood in the family. They also believed that Rosemary would be happier if kept unaware of how different she was. But the code of silence led Rosemary to become confused and frustrated when she could not keep up. When she was 11, her parents sent her to boarding school.
Wow. I know what that's like.
Yeah. Oh, God. Yeah, you do.
Yeah, I do.
By 1927, through finance, industrial management, media, real estate, and commerce, Joseph Kennedy was a multimillionaire.
Insane.
In the 20s. He retired from the film industry in 1930. Kennedy's fortunes grew during the Great Depression, making profitable short sales of industries that were decimated by the economic downturn. His wealth just continued to grow.
That sounds so familiar to what some people did during the pandemic.
He did, like, even sketchier things. Okay. He supported FDR in 1932 and was rewarded with appointing him chairman of the newly established Securities and Exchange Commission. According to Encyclopedia Britannica, quote, as chairman of the Securities and Exchange Commission from 1934 to 1935, under President Franklin D. Roosevelt, Kennedy outlawed the very speculative practices that he had used to make him rich.
Stop.
So he, like,
he said,
I'm gonna make generation money that, like, the Kennedys who are alive now, their great, great grandchildren will, none of them will ever have to work. Because of how much money this one fucking dude made.
He's like, some for me, but none for thee.
None for, yeah. And there was a quote in the American Dynasty on Discovery Plus where they were saying, where allegedly Joe Sr. said that, like, I'm making all of this money so that my kids can go on and be philanthropists. Mm. They don't have to worry about working. They can just give back. And they did. And that is what they did do. So he's a complicated, layered onion of a man. Mm. But still, I think he's the curse of the Kennedys.
It started with him.
Absolutely. Roosevelt again recognized Kennedy's contributions by naming him ambassador to the Court of St. James, which is the formal title for the U.S. ambassador to the United Kingdom. He got this title in 1938. We all know what's going to happen. In a couple of years. At this time, and especially in Europe in the early 40s, at this time, Rosemary went with the family to the UK and at 19 was sent to a UK convent school. There's one instance where she tripped in front of the King of England because of a gait that she sort of walked with, and it legit was apparently like a huge deal.
Oh my God. Ugh, people making a mountain out of molehill.
Yeah. Considering Kennedy was a businessman and not a fucking politician, he repeatedly made public statements supporting American isolationism. A professor of history from NYU, Tim Naftali, says that he ended up on the wrong side of history in an incredibly dramatic way. Joe Sr. was really worried that if the British went to war against the Nazis, that the U.S. would then also have to go to war against the Nazis. He didn't see the moral issue. Businessman can't feel things, apparently.
Yeah.
So Larry Tai, a Kennedy biographer, said that he believed that his best role for America was to remain neutral and that the best idea was to, like, appease the Nazis and, like, try and make a deal with Hitler to be like, hey, you can, like, do your thing over there. Like, we're doing our thing over here and, like, it's fine. But again, he never told everyone, these are my opinions. he's the ambassador. So people thought that those were America's opinions.
Oh my God.
And if that's what he's saying, they're not going to fucking hear about that back in the US for forever because it's the 1930s. Shit's really bad. So war broke out and Kennedy Sr. was like, shit, the world is over and England is going to be devoured. So he sends his family home and is branded a Nazi appeasing coward and was very outspoken against the war. And again, like an idiot, he continued to fail to clarify that these views were strictly his own, leaving the incorrect impression that his comments were of the official administrative policy. In addition to alienating President Roosevelt, who was like ready to fucking go to war, these comments were met with huge disapproval from both British and American citizens.
I can't imagine why.
No argument. Yeah.
No argument.
You
Nazi
appeasing fucking coward. Fuck you, dude. There's a quote that I heard in Sinisterhood where someone said, like, I thought sunflowers were yellow. And then I met Joseph Kennedy, like just old school fucking burn coward and an idiot.
Oh my God.
With the loss of presidential support and the war looming, Kennedy resigned his ambassadorship in 1940, and that brought him back to the U.S. Now, we're kind of going back and forth between, like, what's going on with Joe Sr. and what's going on with Rosemary, so we're going to hop back to her really quick. So now she's 23 years old, and her father has her undergo a lobotomy.
Oh, yeah.
One in which he didn't tell her mom about. And did it because he specifically thought that it would make her more docile. So she's getting older. She's becoming frustrated. She's also like going through puberty and wants to be a adult human being. And yeah. She's not being treated well. So she's having what they referred to as like violent fits, which I would just say is a response to the way that she's being treated.
Mm-hmm.
No one's fucking talking to her. So they give her this lobotomy. And the way that they're done at the time is that they put you under a mild tranquilizer, but you're like awake the whole time. The surgery, which involves drilling holes in her head, then you insert something into that hole. My notes refer to it as a spatula-like instrument into the cranium. And you just kind of like keep doing your thing while the patient sings a song. And once they stop singing, you stop going. So they just kept going as little Rosemary Kennedy, who had been taught her entire life to do whatever it takes to listen who's talking to you, sung and sung and sung. Once she stopped, it reduced her to the mental capacity of a 2-year-old.
Oh my God.
With severe physical limitations. She was unable to walk or talk or control her urination.
What?
Rosemary was then placed at St. Coletta in Wisconsin until her death in 2005. This was kept on the down low, so low that people didn't even find out about it until 1961. Her father never came to visit.
Oh.
And after...
Yo, that's so fucked up. You did that to her.
Yeah. And after a few years, her mom finally did. Sinisterhood podcast quotes a nanny who said that after Rosemary left, they were unable to mention her name at all. She was gone. Although it was her siblings who came to visit her and see her the most. In particular, her sister, Eunice Kennedy Shriver. She retained a special bond with her sister and would go on to be the founder of the Special Olympics in 1968.
Aww.
NPS.gov says, in the second half of the 20th century, other Kennedy family members also worked to improve the care and recognition for those who were differently abled. Her mother, Rose Kennedy, made speeches bringing attention to those with special needs. Her sister, Jean Kennedy Smith, founded Very Special Arts, an organization to provide art programming for those with disabilities. President Kennedy proposed and signed major legislation to improve care programs for those with intellectual disabilities, the first ever president to do so. Senator Edward Kennedy continued this work. So all of her siblings, deeply loving and caring people, watched what happened and went on to try and make systemic differences so that that wouldn't happen. Like that was, they knew it was so fucked up. So that's the tale of Rosemary. And that's kind of what I said. People are like, they tried everything to help her. And I'm like, no, you just fucking ditched her.
There's no way. Like, I don't buy that. I don't buy it
You
at
literally
all.
Took her condition and made it so much worse. And then you left her there in a facility.
Like, fuck you.
Fuck off. She didn't need a lobotomy.
No, not at all. So we're going to kind of hop back in time because that brought us to 2005 and a bunch of the Kennedys are dead if we stay there. So we're going to kind of hop back to the 1940s for a second. So FDR and Joseph Kennedy Sr. had their falling out and Joe kind of stayed out of the limelight. And that means that it's his kid's time to shine. But things are not going so great. In 1944, Joseph's eldest son, Joe Jr., was killed in the war. He was volunteering on a secret World War II mission. Joe Jr. was the golden child. First son, supposed to be next in line for the legacy. Like, his dad wanted him to be president, and the best way to do that is start off in the military and, like, work your way up. So, he joined the military. He's legit just, like, this super hot jacked pilot. Like, just gorgeous. And on the other hand, we have JFK, the sickly motherfucker who almost died of scarlet fever and needed a personal trainer for a long time to get in. Like, his dad had to, like, actively work to get him in. He gets in. There's an issue with where he's at. He's, like, on this boat. They're patrolling. Some people say that he's, like, drunk. This PT-109 boat, him and his crew are, like, drunk, or they're in the wrong place. But they fuck up. Human error. And they get, like, T-boned, basically, by submarines. And they explode. The survivors then swam. This is the story presented. Historian David Nassau summarized this on Boston.com, saying the survivors then swam 4 hours to the nearest island, where Kennedy, who already has a bad back because of injuries sustained during his short-lived football career at Harvard, towed a badly burned soldier as he swam. They were eventually rescued after spending several days on the island, but only after Kennedy used a coconut shell to send a message for help. So he, like, carved, like, SOS into this shell, and he would swim out miles every single day until he found a boat and, like, threw the shell on a boat and, like, got all of these people saved. And JFK is, like, this big fucking war hero.
I don't want to question a historian, but as you said, the story put forward.
Yes, and we're going to get into how that story gets put forward.
I feel like I have an idea of it.
And as president, Kennedy kept the shell on his desk in the Oval Office. There's, like, pictures of that everywhere. By all accounts of people in the military, though, who knew things about PT-109 and JFK's boat, they let it be in the wrong place at the wrong time. American Dynasties said that he should have been court-martialed for such a stupid fucking idiotic mistake. But through careful string pulling and story spinning from his father, who owned Hollywood studios, who knew how to tell a story and how to present it the best way.
To spin a tale. Yeah.
JFK later received the Navy and Marine Corps Medal, the highest non-combat honor given by the services, for his, quote, extremely heroic conduct. However, the incident is said to have contributed to his worsening and chronic back issues later in life, which are so important and do come into play. And JFK's medical history is a very important thing to keep in mind. So his family is, like, constantly throwing parties for JFK, who basically failed upwards, while his older brother is doing everything he can to work his ass off to become a war hero. Joe's just throwing parties for JFK while Joe Jr. is, like, secretly devastated because he was always the golden boy. Someone in American Dynasty said that, like, he literally, like, would come to a party and there was one point where he was, like, upstairs crying, being like, I'll show them, like, I'm the one.
My God. He's like, this was supposed to be me.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. So then he signs up for this secret mission where he's allegedly told that they wanted to cancel it because they're like, wait, no, this is really dangerous. We need to not do this, you know, test run of this technology.
And he's like, this, like, is my shit.
He's like, this is my fucking shot. I'm gonna do this. Daddy's gonna love me. Back on top.
but then it crashes and he dies. And
no,
and he's gone.
No, damn, and that sucks.
Yeah. Now the three kids, Joe Jr., JFK, and Kathleen Kennedy, aka Kick, are who Joe referred to as his golden trio. Like, those were his three kids where he was like, they're doing shit. They're going on with the world.
There is just something so psychologically fucked up about that.
It gets even more devastating because in 1948, Kathleen dies in a plane crash.
What?
The same year.
Where did that happen?
She's flying to London. So her husband dies. She's like about to get married, or she just got married, and like her husband dies in a plane crash. Ugh. And she's like over in London, and then somehow she is coming back and she's going to get married again. And there's a plane crash and she dies.
Oh my God. Yeah. It's the curse.
It's the fucking curse.
It's the fucking curse.
The same year, 4 years after the war ended, then Representative Kennedy was hospitalized in London. So this is JFK. Was hospitalized in London and secretly diagnosed with Addison's disease, a serious adrenal disorder that the family didn't disclose until after his death.
Oh, so what does that do to someone? I'm not sure what an adrenal disorder is.
So basically, you need steroids. Your body is just like weak and sickly. Your muscles don't develop appropriately. Like, this is the reason he had back issues. This is the reason he needed a personal trainer. You know, scarlet fever. Everything that had happened to him was taking a toll on his body. All of that on top of this disease.
Yeah. Wow.
Boston.com says, according to varying accounts, Kennedy was given last rites by a priest either during his voyage back across the Atlantic or upon docking in New York. Nassau writes that upon his return, the young congressman's father, Joe Kennedy Sr., spread the fake story that he had suffered a reoccurrence of malaria that he had contracted during World War II in the Solomon Islands.
Whoa.
And again, JFK becomes incredibly sick while touring Asia with his little brother Robert and dealt with back issues that we'll get into further in his next episode.
Wow.
As we all know, JFK was famously assassinated in 1963, something that will get its very own episodes.
Yes.
Robert Kennedy was also assassinated in 1968.
What?
So by the time Joseph Kennedy Sr. died at the age of 81, four of his children had died, and he had ablestly written off Rosemary. Joseph Sr. had called Joe Jr., John, and Kathleen his golden trio, and now, as of 1948, it leaves just JFK left. And that is the end of this episode.
God damn, Katie.
The Kennedys' life is so dramatic.
It really is.
And I didn't even mention that JFK Jr., John Jr., he died in a plane crash, too, in the 90s. I didn't even mention that.
What?
Yeah. Oh, you know what?
What is it with this family and planes and automobiles? Any kind of transportation?
The thing is like, I looked it up. The chances of dying in a plane crash at the time were, like, 1 in 20,000. So the fact that all of these people died in a plane crash is insane.
It's the curse.
Yeah.
And then there's lots of things with automobiles, like JFK Jr.'s assassination.
Yeah.
And didn't one of them crash a car that somebody died in?
Oh, yeah. That's the Chappaquiddick incident. That's going to have its own episode as well. So, yeah, here's the Kennedy deaths right here. So Kathleen Kick Kennedy died in a plane crash. Patrick Bouvier Kennedy was the first son of JFK. He died of a respiratory issue. JFK, RFK. David A. Kennedy was Robert's son. He died of an overdose.
Mm.
Then we have another one of Bobby's kids died in a skiing accident.
Oh.
That was 97 and 99. JFK Jr., God, he was so hot, died in a plane that he was piloting over Martha's Vineyard. Kara Kennedy, who was the only daughter from Ted Kennedy, died of a heart attack while exercising in Washington, D.C.
Wow.
She was not that old. Mary Richardson Kennedy, she was married to RFK, Robert Kennedy Jr.'s. She was married to him. She died by suicide. The granddaughter of RFK died of an accidental overdose in 2019. And in 2020, Maeve Kennedy McKeon disappeared with her 8-year-old son, Gideon. And her body was found 4 days later, and his body was found 2 days later. There's other incidents of things that have happened to them that like, didn't cause death.
But like maybe should have.
Well, it's like someone who was 12 had in 1973, Edward Kennedy Jr., he had to get his leg amputated from bone cancer at 12.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
It's the curse, bro. Who did someone sell their soul to?
Joseph Kennedy fucked up. He was an asshole and he got what was coming to him.
Karma is my boyfriend.
Unfortunately, karma is not the cat sitting in JFK's lap because it loves him, because his whole fucking family just tragic. So wow. Yeah, that is our first part of the Kennedys. I hope that you guys are interested in more, and the story's just gonna keep going.
I'm so excited for the rest of it. Yeah. This is so dramatic. I love it.
It's so dramatic. All right, until next week.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
For any photos related to today's episode, please go to our Instagram.
You can follow us on Instagram and TikTok at AL2KPodcast.
Like us on Facebook at Always the Last to Know Podcast.
If you have any questions, please email us at AL2KPodcast@gmail.com.
Please share, rate, and review us on your podcast listening app of choice.
Join our Patreon. You can find us at patreon.com/AL2KPodcast or click the link in our bio on social media.
Thanks for listening.